I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, he is. Doug Oster. We'll get to him in just a moment on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. But let's start off by making someone happy, especially that 10th caller at 412-922-1020. You're going to win yourself a $25 gift certificate from the good folks out there right off that Wexford Exchange on the highway that is Sorgel. So 10th caller, 412-922-1020. Spring in the air, huh, Doug?
Oh, how about this weather, Rob? Oh, this is so fantastic. Last week when we had the break in the weather, it just seemed like spring was here. Now, yes, it's going to get cold. There's going to be more snow, but we've made it this far, and the garden has come alive. Daffodils, I've got garlic greens out there, all the stuff that I tried to overwinter. Kale, mizuna, Swiss chard, cilantro, more stuff. It all made it, even though it got to 2 degrees. But there's a plant out there that I want to talk about, and it's a hellebore. And there's two different types of hellebore. Well, there's lots of different types of hellebore, but there's two main types of hellebores. One is called the Christmas rose or winter rose. The other is called the Lenten rose. And so the Lenten rose is just starting now. It'll bloom with the crocus. But last year in November, the Christmas rose started to bloom, and I bought these plants at Hahn Nursery a couple years ago during the holidays. They're selling a hellebore as like a holiday plant where you just would put it in your on your table for the holidays and then pitch it, but it is an amazing, amazing perennial. And so I wintered it over after buying it in December, wintered it over in an unheated greenhouse last spring, planted them, and then they started blooming in November. And after being under a foot of snow and that 2 degrees, after this break in the weather, they're still there. And so I've posted pictures at DougOster.com so you can see what this plant is. And I found 10 of them for sale somewhere. I don't know why they're not selling this plant as a perennial. They're only selling it as a holiday plant. But I happened to see online that Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse has like 10 of these that they kept from the holidays, kept them in a greenhouse. This is just an awesome perennial. It's evergreen, starts blooming when everything else is ended, and then goes most of the winter. And if you look at the pictures, I posted them on Facebook, but also at DougOster.com, the flower starts like a white with a yellow center, and then it fades to a real dark pink, almost purple. It's called Helleborus niger is the variety that is the winter rose, and it's just a wonderful plant. Now, speaking of a break in the weather, 18 days until I'll be planting peas in the garden. St. Patrick's Day is when Grandma said plant those peas. I'm going to plant lots of other stuff there that day, too. But, I mean, that just shows you how close we are to the start of the season. The thing about planting peas that early, it just depends on if the soil is ready. And so, you know, a day like today with all this rain, after all that snow, there's no way you're going to want to dig in the garden. If the soil's too wet, and this is we always say, if it sticks to the shovel when you try and turn it over, it's too wet. And so all I will do if the soil is not ready is I'll just get a couple bags of compost, and I'll throw them on the top. And then I'll soak those peas overnight, put them in that nice compost, and we'll be off to the races. It's the start of the season, and I couldn't be more excited. Whatever that day was where the weather broke, and we had that really nice day last week, I drove down to the south side and drove up to see my friend John Oprasek. He's a Pittsburgh artist, has this amazing studio up on the south side slopes. And it just felt like, I don't know, it seemed like summer to me. I guess I'm getting too old for winter, because the end of winter was tough for me, and I'm just so excited to get started. Now, donations are coming in for Doug's free seed checks. I've got some stuff from seeds coming from Renee's Garden Seeds, which is very nice of them. A big company called Proven Winners is sending me some seeds. And regular gardeners are sending me seeds, too. All that information about what Doug's free seed checks are, and if you had extra seeds, where you could send them, is all at DougOster.com. And I'm giving away another book today. It's called Uprooted by Paige Dickey. And I loved this book because it's all about spending an entire lifetime creating a garden that eventually becomes too big for you to take care of. And then when you downsize, you've got to leave this garden and start a new one. And for anybody who has had to do that, you know, my first garden I spent 15 years on, and I knew when I left, just like Paige Dickey did when she wrote this book, I knew when I left that it wouldn't be a garden anymore. It would just go to what it was. And so if you'd like to win a copy of Uprooted by Paige Dickey, just go to DougOster.com, click on the contact button, and just say, hey, I'd like to win the book, or I'm a winner, or I need that book. The story I did this week for the Green Voice is all about a special orchid. So I went to Phipps during the Orchid and Tropical Bonsai Show. In fact, today is the last day of the show. It is a great show, and I took, like I do every time I go, I took lots of pictures of orchids and I posted them. And a friend of mine, Carolyn Bolton, said, "Hey, that orchid looks familiar. Can you find out if it's actually the one named after me?" And so I sent a message back to Phipps and I said, it's called Carolyn Smith Bolton, and it was named after her. And I wondered how an orchid got named for Carolyn. She is, an orchid grower and part of the Orchid Society of Western Pennsylvania. But she brought in this famous breeder as a speaker and took care of him. His name is George Hatfield. And so I tracked him down. And I asked him, why name it after Carolyn? And he just said, the reason I named an orchid after Carolyn is she was one of the kindest hosts I've ever had in my speaking tours around the United States. Carolyn took him to Permane Brothers, too. He talked about that, how much he loved that. He's crisscrossed the country for 30 years, but just ranks his time visiting Pittsburgh very highly. And due to, being guided by Carolyn, he said, it's probably the best I've ever had in all the years of speaking on orchids about his trip, and just said she's a genuine nice person, which is a refreshing thing. So I thought that was cool, kind of a fun thing, and a beautiful orchid, too. And it kind of explains how he crossed it and made it. Later on today, Mrs. Know-It-All, I can't wait for this. She's going to tell us what not to plant. She has a list of plants that we should not put in the ground. And I can't wait to hear that. If you've got a garden question you can't get through, I bet you the phones are going to be busy today. I answer questions after the show for about an hour. Just go to DougOster.com, click on that contact button. And I would love to talk to you today, though. If you have a gardening question or want to talk about gardening at all, just give me a call, 866-391-1020. And Rob, have you been enjoying this break in the weather? I would think so.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, speaking of breaks, we've got to get to one now, but I want to make sure that I get this in and let Doug chime in a little bit, because even long before I met Doug, I was a big fan of the Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, always promoting, always giving them a sounding board, and Doug has been a big fan as well. And as you've been hearing, we want you to join Giant Eagle in supporting Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and the other local food banks in the mission to end hunger. You can help by donating today at all Giant Eagle and Get-Go locations. You can also donate during the curbside order by typing Feeding America in the search bar. Details at kdkradio.com. So, Doug, go ahead, chime in on that, and a need now more than ever, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, if you can do it, please help out. I've spent some time at the food bank. It's an amazing place. They're helping lots of people. These are people that are working two jobs, you know, the clients that can't make ends meet, you know, seniors and kids, you know, we can help. And this sounds like a great program, Rob.
All right, short break. We'll come back. Get on the lines. Fill him up, folks. He wants to talk to you. 866-391-1020. Doug Oster, the organic gardener. DougOster.com. Yeah, and for what it's worth, he is a star in his own right, but he's going to kind of join me tomorrow for a little segment on my show. And I guess we're going to be talking about spring and looking forward to it, right, Doug?
Oh, we are going to have a lot of fun, Rob. Yeah. We're all looking forward to spring, and there's a lot to talk about, you know, getting started and planning for the season. I couldn't be more thrilled than where we are right now headed into spring.
And I know that all of our wonderful sponsors, the Sorgles of the world, the Janoskis, and many others, are getting ramped up too. So it's never too early to start thinking spring, especially when you get a break in the weather, right, Doug?
Oh, yeah, you know, everybody is chomping at the bit to get going. All the seed racks are out, you know, and as we've talked in the last couple weeks, get out there, get your seeds now because it's going to be crazy again. I've talked to a lot of seed companies that are, you know, working 24/7 to get orders in, and, you know, I ordered some seeds myself, and it took a long time to get them, longer than I thought. So, yeah, get out to some of our local sponsors, poke around, see what's out there. Get your seeds and get ready to go.
All right, let's go. 866-391-1020. Here's Bill in West Mifflin up first for Doug Oster. Go ahead, Bill. Good morning.
Yeah, I had a question for you, Doug. I bought a grower's table a long time ago at a estate sale. It's got the four tiers with the grow lights in it and stuff. And what I experience is when I start growing my plants, is the stem gets real thin, and then they drop over dead.
Okay, so tell me about the lights. Is it fluorescent lights?
Well, there are some sunlights left, but there are fluorescent lights too, yes.
Yeah.
And also to let you know, I have them up on boxes, so they're closer to the light.
Yeah, you're going to need real strong light, and so if it's a fluorescent light, you want to change those bulbs out every year, because even though we can't see a difference in the light, the plants can. And yes, like you said, the plant should be within about an inch of the light. Now, an interesting thing that Handy Andy from EV True Value Hardware Store down in Bethel Park showed me, and I got a couple of them. They make these LED lights now that are magnetized. You know, they're as long as like a shop light, and you just stick them up on that. If you did, you know, if you wanted to run the lights cheaper, and they're super bright. But whatever existing light you have, it's got to be super bright and super close to the plant. And we see that all the time. You know, people that start seeds, they'll do it on the windowsill. You know, you've got some lighting, but they'll do it on the windowsill, and that's what happens. That plant is telling you that it's not getting the light that it needs by becoming what we call leggy, just tall and reaching for the light and then falling over. So I'd replace those bulbs or, you know, go to LED. LED is going to be a lot cheaper to run. You know, two of those LEDs that I got, it's just a little itty-bitty strip that fits up on, you know, sticks to something metal. It has enough light. It's the same as two fluorescent bulbs, and so going to be a lot going to be a lot cheaper to run. So work on the lighting and you'll be good to go and get some good seeds going and have a great gardening season, okay?
Okay, thank you. I can't wait to get out there.
Me too, brother.
All right, let's go to John up next, 84 PA. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Doug, now that the snow has melted off of everything, I noticed in my lawn some gray patches of grass, kind of slimy, looks like a fungus of some sort. How do you treat that once the growing season?
Yeah, it might be some type of snow mold. But for right now, all we do is we just wait and we see what comes back. If that patch just doesn't do it and it just dies, we'll just scrape that out of there. All you can do really is throw a little bit of compost down and then a little bit of grass seed, and that wouldn't be until April, until it's warm enough for the seed to germinate. And we'll just keep an eye on it. A lot of times, grass under snow, it'll look really bad this time of the year, and then it'll start to bounce back. The grass from around that spot will start to move in. So just keep an eye on it and have a little grass seed around it. You know, one of the best things we can do in our lawns once things get going in April is just doing a little bit of reseeding to get that young, vigorous grass to grow in with the other stuff. So just take a look at it and keep an eye on it. It's not really a big deal.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Up next, Deborah Alexandria. How are you, Deborah? Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I have a quick question. Last year, my husband and I, for the first time, started growing some tomatoes out of containers, and I got like the 2-gallon container, but I wasn't sure if I needed a larger size and what you recommend for growing some great tomatoes.
All right. So growing tomatoes in containers is a great idea. It's just you need a bigger container.
I always
recommend one called a self-watering container. And what a self-watering mm-hmm. container does is it has a little, and there's a whole many, many different brands. The easy one to find is called Earthbox. And you could do 2 full-size tomatoes in 1 Earthbox. Well, it has this reservoir underneath. And as long as there's water in that reservoir, then you'll have plenty of moisture up in the soil. The problem about growing in containers is that if it dries out, oftentimes the fruit gets blossom end rot because they can't mm-hmm. uptake the calcium that is in there. And so always for tomatoes, go with the biggest container you can get. I like if it's not self-watering, I want at least 15 gallons, believe it or not. And then also look at some tomatoes that are bred to be a container tomato, like Super Bush. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. patio tomatoes, container tomatoes. And as I said, bigger is better for containers, and you're going to have great tomatoes that way. And take a look at Earthbox, too.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Doug, love to hear from you. We got some wide open phone space, so give us a call, 866-391-1020. And, of course, Dollar Bank Instant Access, kdkradio.com, dougoster.com. Still to come, Mrs. Know-It-All. We have a gift certificate to give away from the good folks at Janoski's. And, yes, next hour, it's casseroles and one-dish recipes with Joe and Frank Dentisi on the Coons Cooking Hour. Then Jim Meredith, morning commentary, son Jamie Meredith, Ask the Advisor, co-hosting today, Ray Ballantyne, financial news and notes, Heffron Tillotson, Your Money and You. Then it's game one of the Pirates for spring training, Baltimore, Sarasota today, little after 1, 93.7 The Fan, Jason Mackey from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, live with us today on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show from spring training. All of that still to come today. KDKA, good morning. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to join Doug and I with a gardening question, you can call 866-391-1020. Let's start off this half hour by saying hello to Nancy. But before we do that, 10th caller wins a gift certificate from Janoski's out in Clinton at 412-922-1020. Nancy from Arnold, PA. Good morning, Nance. How you doing?
Fine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
What's your question?
Okay, here's my question. I recently bought 2 plants at the supermarket. One was an azalea, and the other is a hydrangea. Now, I bought them with the intention of putting them out into the garden in the spring. Now, in the meantime, I'm trying to maintain them. One is doing well, and the other looks like it's on its way out. Now, I keep them in the garage, on a windowsill that gets sunlight, and I water it occasionally. Can you tell me, it's the azalea that's not doing so well.
The first thing is...
Give up on it, or...?
No, don't give up, but the first thing is just to figure out the watering. You know, it sounds like the lighting is perfect. You know, first off, both those plants, we're not sure if they're going to be hardy for the winter. If there's some kind of plant tag or information on there, let's find out if it's something we can plant in the garden and just keep going on its own. But for now, what we can do with those plants before we know that is just stick your finger down into that dirt. If it's real wet and real moist, wait a little bit. If it's super dry, give it a little bit of water. And that's the trick on these plants, is just to give them the water they need, but you can't overdo it, and you don't want to neglect them. And so how much light does it get? I mean, is it what direction does the window face? Do you know?
It's a western.
Okay, so it's getting pretty good light. The other thing you could think about doing is on nice days when, you know, it's a 40 or above, you could take them outside, get them used to the outside. They'll probably be happier out there anyway. And then they're probably going to go into the ground, you know, when we get end of April around there. Again, depending if you could just figure out if it is a hardy variety or one that is just like a florist variety, just, you know, here's your beautiful flowers. You can have them inside, and then they're done. But take a look at, see if you can find a plant tag on them. Watch the watering. Be sure you're doing the watering.
It's almost perennial.
Oh, that's good news then. Then if both those plants are perennials.
That's what it said, and that's why I bought them. You know,
oh, well, then you're in good shape. You're in good shape, then. Those could actually go out as soon as we get a break in the weather. Early April, if you wanted to, you could put them out there as long as they're tough enough to make it. And just so you've got about another month to keep them alive inside and then get them outside. And as I said, any decent day we have, take them outside. Let them breathe a little bit. Maybe get a little bit of rain depending on what the watering is in the container, okay?
All right, up next, it's Eileen for Doug. She's calling today from New Kensington. Hi, Eileen. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
What's going on in New Kensington?
About an aloe vera plant. Right. I received an aloe vera plant in September as a gift. It's called Hedgehog. It's an aloe humulus, which I never heard of. And it's growing. It's getting pretty big. And it said on the tag that you can plant it in the, plant in full sun, 20 inches apart. It grows to 20 inches tall. Can this stay in all winter? Does it just stay summer? How do I take care of it?
Okay, so the number one thing on that aloe plant is to keep it on the dry side. You know, not neglecting, but just watering it here and there. Again, same instructions I just talked about. Stick your finger all the way down in that dirt. If you don't get any moisture at the bottom, give a little bit of water. That's going to be an indoor plant, but that would be happy. Again, if you wanted to, you could stick it outdoors when things warm up a little bit, end of April. I keep all my aloes, I grow them as house plants, and I just keep them on the windowsill. And this is actually getting to the time where you could give it, if you wanted to, just a little bit of liquid fertilizer if you wanted to, but it doesn't really need it. It basically, the only way to kill that plant is with kindness, with too much water, too much fertilizer. And so just kind of keep an eye on it, and it's going to be a wonderful plant for you. And as I said, if you wanted to, if it was, you know, like you said, getting big, it might look kind of cool out in the garden during the summer, and then bring it back in before it gets cold.
Well, it's getting so big, it's taken over my windowsill. It's about 12 inches tall already. It's really growing. And it says that in the summer, it gets spikes of red flowers.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be hard to get it to bloom, to tell you the truth, in our climate. And, you know, only it's 12 inches tall. Find a spot for it. Enjoy it. And as I said, you can take it outside in the summer and then bring it back in. All right?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
866-391-1020. How about a couple of those questions that you got at DougOster.com?
All right. Well, here's one from Chris. He says, our family listens to your show on the way to church every Sunday. Could you tell me the top 5 to 10 perennials for our area that you like? And I'll tell you one right off the bat that I always talk about, and it's always the first one on my list for people, but it only has a Latin name, which makes it tough, especially when you're talking about it on the radio. So it's called Corydalis lutea. And Corydalis is Corydalis, and lutea is Latin for yellow, meaning that the flowers are going to be yellow. So most perennials, they'll bloom for, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks if you're lucky, but this one has a really long bloom time. That's one of the reasons I love it. And so it will start blooming in basically about a month and a half. Start sometime in April, putting on these beautiful little yellow flowers, and then it will go all the way through the year. And last year, it kept going all the way through November. And so this is a long bloom time, and it will grow just about anywhere. In the shade, it gets about 18 inches tall. In the sun, about 3 foot tall. It deer-resistant, forms a beautiful colony after just a couple years by just throwing seeds, so it's not invasive underground runners. And it's just a beautiful plant that spreads like crazy. You can throw it in containers if you want. If it grows somewhere where you don't like it, you could just pick it out. It's easy. And that plant, just because it blooms so long, it's just an absolutely wonderful plant. It's called Corydalis lutea. If you can't remember that, just go to the website, DougOster.com, search perennials, and it'll come up in this whole list of perennials. There's one more perennial, and although Chris wanted to know more about partial shade, I wanted to talk about one that was out for the sun. And I just wrote a story about tried and true plants. You know, we're always really into the newest things, but I wanted to hear from some growers what's something that is just persisted. And there's a salvia, and it's perennial, and it's called May Night, and very popular, a 1997 perennial plant of the year. And it puts on these beautiful purple flowers, very deer resistant, loves full sun, but you can do it in part sun. And the thing about it is it'll give you a longer bloom time because it will grow those beautiful purple flowers. They'll start to get a little ratty. They'll start to try and go to seed, and we just trim those off. We give it a little bit of water. We give it a little bit of fertilizer, and when it's ready, when it's got more energy, it'll send up more flowers, and those will go all the way until a hard freeze. And so, again, when we're thinking perennials, we're thinking, yeah, 6 weeks of bloom, but with the Corydalis and the Salvia May Night, they will bloom much, much longer, and you don't have to keep replanting. You know, gardeners in general, once they get going, yeah, we all have to grow annuals. We all love our annuals, our impatiens, and our marigolds, whatever it might be. But perennials, you just put them in once, and when they're happy, they come back year after year. And then many times, they expand and get bigger and bigger, and then we cut them up and we give them away or move them. And so those two are a couple of my favorites right there, Rob.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Yes, he is with his favorite guest, Doug.
It's time for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's horticulturist Denise Schreiber. She's going to tell us what not to plant. But, Denise, I'm so excited about the change in the weather and spring right around the corner.
I was out weeding yesterday.
Oh, already?
Oh, bittercress, of course.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, followed by wild strawberry. That's the other one. So I was a busy little girl yesterday.
So what should we not plant? This is good. This will be good information. You know, stuff that's available out there still for sale, but you shouldn't be planting it, right?
Right. I mean, you know, for some of these, they might as well plant, you know, sell kudzu and poison ivy because these plants are pretty much in the same category there. So there's, you know, the worst offender are flowering pears, and you'll find them at independent garden centers. You'll find them at the big box stores. They are invasive. They are receding everywhere. I've seen fields of them because people thought it was a good thing to plant. And what people don't realize, yeah, we want something flowering in the spring. You know, we need it after winter. But if you ever get up close to one, they smell like old gym socks, very well-used gym socks.
And they're not like from an arborist standpoint, they're not a good tree either, right?
Oh, no. They, you know, a good windstorm, and I've seen them break in half, literally.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, skip that. There's better small trees than that. Barberry. A lot of people like to plant barberry because the deer won't eat it. But now studies are showing that barberry, because it collects leaves and, you know, little bits of trash and everything at the base, it actually provides a good winter home for ticks, which are a huge problem for us, you know, because they carried, you know, Lyme's disease. And,
right.
You know, so that's, you know, there's other plants that the deer won't eat. Not a whole lot, but there are other ones. If they're hungry enough, they'll eat it.
They'll eat anything.
Right. Chameleon plant.
It's, oh, it's, yeah. Explain what that is, what it looks like. So
it is a ground cover, and it is red and green and white, and the colors are mixed. And I even see it in catalogs. And, yeah, it's a ground cover. It would cover the earth if given the opportunity.
The thing about it, too, Denise, is that it's beautiful. And you think, people think like, well, I need it to cover an area, but then you never get rid of it.
No, you can't ever get rid of it. A friend of mine had a Red Dog duck driveway, and it went 1,200 feet down the driveway, across the road, and into a farmer's field. Not something you want. And I'll tell you what, a friend of mine, he tried killing it with all kind of stuff. He could never get rid of it.
Yeah.
And then porcelain berry, and it's pretty. It's got variegated foliage. It's green and white. It gets these beautiful purple and blue and white berries, and the birds love them. Unfortunately, it is highly invasive, and it's another one that's really tough to get rid of. And during the spring, if anybody drives along Streets Run Road in Baldwin, if you look up, there's one whole part of the woods that are absolutely draped in it, you know, because the birds eat the seed and then they poop out the seed and it's got a little fertilizer and, you know, it's the new kudzu for us.
Well, anybody on their way to Chapin's in Baldwin, take a look on Streets Run Road, what Denise is talking about, and you'll see them.
Right. It's past Chapin's heading further into the South Hills, but it's on the left-hand side, the same as Chapin's.
Anything else on the list?
Oh, yeah. There's
yeah.
Winter creeper, bittersweet, wisteria. I've seen wisteria escape here. And, you know, that's a tough plant to get rid of, too. But I've seen it, you know, in places where nobody ever planted it there. Bishop's goutweed, Virginia creeper, English ivy. You know, that'll destroy the brickwork on your house really quick. It'll help. Virginia creeper and English ivy are really good at killing trees because once they get up into the canopy, they literally choke the sunlight from the trees. So, you know, there's just better things to plant than, you know, this list here. I've got some pictures and a complete list on the Mrs. Know-It-All site. But, you know, do your homework. You know, when you go to the garden center, you know, there's plenty of literature out there from reputable growers and, you know, people like us, yeah, because we're reputable. And
at least you are.
sometimes. And, you know, we'll give you an idea. And you know what? If nothing else, people can, you know, email us or, you know, go to our website and say, hey, you know, I saw this plant. It's just like the lady who called about the aloe. And it's a wonderful plant, but they were telling her to plant it outside. Well, yeah, maybe if you lived down in Florida or Phoenix, yeah, it would do very well. But that's general information. It's not for the Northeast.
All right, Mrs. Know-It-All. Thank you. As always, great information. Now, remember, I'm answering some questions after the show. You can also win a copy of Uprooted by Paige Dickey just by going to DougOster.com, clicking on the contact button. How are we doing on time, Rob?
I'm going to give you 1 minute, a bonus minute.
Oh, great. I'm telling you what, get out there, get your seeds. You could start some stuff early, like some. I've got some kale going. I've got some mustard greens going. That love cool weather. You know, that's what we're going to be talking about next week, about how early we can put some of these plants outside that love cold weather. Don't just garden from frost to frost. You can extend the season and be growing almost, well, in my case, year-round. Now, remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
You going to go out and kick some dirt up today, maybe?
It's too wet out there, but I am going to walk around and see everything that's sprouting. I got daffodils up. It's exciting.
You could have a little tea party, invite some deer over. Say, I'm sorry I don't have anything to eat, but if you come back in the spring, maybe we can reevaluate that. Anyway, listen, have a great day. Always good job, Doug. Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow, Rob.
All right, Doug Oster tomorrow at 6, right after local news. But coming up, it's casseroles. It's one-dish recipes. It's the Lenten season. It's the show that you love. It is that show that is, of course, all about that locally owned and independently operated grocer, now in the third generation of the Dentici family, Joe and Frank Dentici, the Coons Cooking Hour, Rob Pratt Sunday, KDKA.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.